Before I get started, a little disclaimer. This is a little bit of an out-of-the-box kind of a message. So fasten your seatbelts. And I want to encourage you to be open and to receive, to hear. And receive it as an impartation, not only revelation, not only hearing the word with the ear, letting it go in and out the other side, but receive impartation from the Lord today. Okay, especially when I'm speaking specific scriptures and revelations, receive impartation. And also, like I said, it's a little bit of an out-of-the-box kind of a message. And last week, it already was starting to manifest. Casey kind of had a word that the Lord was saying, you know, okay, this is out of the box. It feels a little uncomfortable and it's a little messy, but, you know, this is what the Lord is doing. So this is just confirmation. So let's try not to have a cow, especially not a sacred one, okay? If you get my drift. Okay, so in the beginning of 2018, the Lord gave me a prophetic message, and it was all about the coming cleansing, and I'm not going to get into that just for the sake of time, but it's still on the website of, you know, under prophetic. It's really good, and it still is playing a role of what the Lord is doing now on a continuous basis. So I talked about, you know, where we were at in 2018, but then the Lord already gave me revelation about what we're coming into in 2020. And so the Lord is, you know, was saying already then that we're in 2020, we're going to be coming into a new era, a new decade. We're coming into change and transformation and transition and shift. If you would put the first picture up, please. What do you see? Say it out. Okay.
I see blue and red.
Okay. What else do you see? Huh? Trademark. Okay. What else do you see? Ah, what? Say that loud. An arrow. Who sees the arrow? Raise your hand if you see the arrow.
I do now.
Okay. But it, yeah. Okay. See the arrow? Okay, what else do you see? Okay, yeah. Does anybody see a spoon?
Yes.
Okay, does anybody see an egg?
Yes.
Okay, so now that I've awakened you to the fact that there is another picture inside of this picture, right? You are able to see, right? Okay, so 2020, is, you know, a time to see beyond the obvious, okay? It's a time to see from a different perspective and beyond the obvious. There's more to what there is to see, okay? If you would go to the next picture, please. So in 2018, I talked about that at that time we were in the decade of the, you know, like 18. In the Hebrew calendar, each word is also a number. So in the Hebrew calendar, 2018 was 5770. Well, the decade of the 70s. And the number 70 is IN in the Hebrew, as you can see right there, okay, on the left. And then the picture graph, in the original ancient picture graph, it looks like an eye. And it means eye, or to see, or to experience, okay? So now we've come into a new decade of 5780, or in our calendar, it's 2020, okay? So that is the letter pay, and it has the numerical value of 80. So, and it means, you can see it looks like a mouth, it means mouth, word, or speak. So we have come from the last decade of seeing into 2020 to 2020 vision, where we need to see clearly, but it's the beginning of a new decade where we come into the mouth. So from seeing clearly 2020 vision, now we can speak through our mouth the revelation and through the authority of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense, or is that confusing?
No,
it makes
sense.
Okay, all right, let's go to the next picture. So this is the IN in written form, not the picture graph. And will you go to the next picture? So this is the letter K, all right, which is for 5780 in the Hebrew, the number 80, or it correlates with 2020 in our calendar. So there is a hidden letter inside of that letter that means mouth, okay? So in other words, so just like we just saw that FedEx and you saw another picture inside, you see the picture, okay? That's the letter Bet, and it has the numerical value of 2. So remember that for later on, because 2 is very important. Anyway, so there's a hidden house. The Bet means tent or house. So there's a hidden house inside the mouth, okay? This decade, a hidden house inside the mouth, okay? So pay is communication. You know, God created through speech. The word of God is living and active, right? It's powerful. Speech is very powerful. And when God breathed into Adam's nostril, he became a living being. And in Hebrew, they understand that that also means he became a speaking being. This is how we differentiate from all other creation. We're the only creation that speaks. We're created in his image. So bed is a picture of a tent, because the very meaning of bed is a tent or a house, like I already said, it represents a dwelling or within a house or inside or into, and the numerical number 2. So again, there's a house inside the mouth, and it's time to see beyond, to speak from the place of the house out of the mouth. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So in this year and in this decade, what I speak out of my mouth has to come from the God within my house. Life and death is in the power of the? And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth?
Speaks.
Yes. So Zephaniah 3:17, thank you, worship team, for that very appropriate prophetic song today from Zephaniah 3:17. Y'all rock. Every song was so prophetic that goes with the prophetic message. Every prayer in the prayer room was so amazingly that contributed, that it's like they were praying my message, not God's message. They were praying God's message. And Marsha had a dream last night that goes along with the mouth. Anyway, so you know what? God speaks, and he speaks all the time. You know, in Job it says, you know, he speaks one way then another, through a dream, through a vision, but it's man that doesn't perceive it, okay? So we need to be open to perceive what God is saying. So anyway, 7:3:17, the Lord in the midst of you, so inside of you, that's the Bet, okay? He is mighty. He is mighty to save. Receive that. He is mighty to deliver. He is mighty to heal. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And he'll quiet you with his love, he says. And he will rejoice over you with loud singing. He's dancing over us. Where? Where? In our house. Let that sink in real quick. It's powerful. Just tune into your house right there. The Lord in the midst of you, inside of you. He is mighty. He sings over you. He sings with loud singing. He rejoices over you with loud singing. Okay, this is a lot about singing today. Thank you, worship team, again, for that very appropriate prophetic songs you guys chose. Anyway, so the same one inside of us singing over us songs of deliverance and songs of joy, he tells us in Isaiah 54, verse 1 and 2, he says, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not born, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Then he goes on, enlarge the place of your tent. There's the Bet. Okay? Enlarge the place of your tent. Okay? We all have a place, a bed, a tent, a house. It's individual, but it's also in corporate. Okay? So it's to be applied in both. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen your stakes. Judy, there it goes. Strengthen your stakes. So we cannot enlarge our tents unless we pull the tent pegs out of the old place and move them over into the new place. Okay? As we do that, there's lots of stretching. The cords have to be lengthened, and the stakes have to be strengthened. And there's a lot at stake. There's a lot, you know, of pressure that's on the stakes because of the stretching of the enlargement. So that the whole tent, the whole house can collapse if the stakes are not solid and anchored. And all the pressure, like I said, from the stretching depends on the stakes to be able to hold the pressure of this stretching. And these stakes have to be in solid ground of the solid rock. All right? So interesting, in this passage that I was reading, it's linked with bearing children and with labor. So during pregnancy, we know that there is enlargement, there's stretching, and there's stretch marks, which are usually not very pretty. Okay? And at times of, you know, growth spurts, you have, you know, you can get stretch marks and you can get growing pain. And, you know, I feel like this is where we're at right now. This is what we're feeling. This process of enlarging and stretching, you know, with the stretch marks and the growing pain that we're feeling. So what's the first thing God tells us to do here? And I feel like this scripture is specifically for our house. I mean, I feel like it's in general, but I feel like it's for us here now. It's a now word. So what's the first thing God is saying to us? What is he telling us to do? He says, sing. Well, what is sing? It's a pay action. Well, anyway, that's gone, but so, you know, it's the mouth. You sing from the mouth. It's a pay action. So 2020, you know, the decade of the pay, where we speak, whether it's through singing or declaring or praying or speaking. So he says, sing. He says, break forth into singing. So the fact that it says break forth tells me that there's resistance. You don't break forth if there isn't any resistance. You just go into it. So in order to break forth into, you have to break out of. Does that make sense? Okay. So we have to break out of something. And I feel like the Lord is saying we have to break out of the box of the confinement of old boundaries and limitations. Out, and in this scripture specifically, it's out of barrenness. So this whole thing is all about barrenness. So next picture, please. All right. So like I said, God speaks all the time. And God speaks through what's relevant in our time and in our culture. He's not going to speak to us about golden calves, and even though he said don't have a cow today, but, you know, stuff that he talked about way back in ancient times. He talks to each generation and each culture based on, you know, the culture and the time of the day. So this is a sign and a prophetic picture that was prophesied by Bob Jones, a very accurate but very unique prophet, about the Kansas City Chiefs' victory of the Super Bowl. So not only was it broadcast all over the place to where everybody that I had eyes to see and ears to hear could see it and hear it and receive it or perceive it, but then, you know, it's all over Facebook. This is modern day, you know, what do you call it? Broadcasting, prophetic. Yeah, this is the way God works in this day and season, okay? So we need to expand and be open to the way God speaks today. So then this came around, and so it was the second Super Bowl win of Andy Reid, and it was his 222nd career victory that took place on 2-2-2020. Okay, you just can't make that up, okay? I'm sorry, but you just can't make that up. And then on this picture, he's on there two times and he holds up two fingers. And then there is the logo, which to me immediately spoke of a spearhead. And so the Chiefs, they win at the fourth quarter, at the very end of the fourth quarter. And it was by two touchdowns, okay, there goes the number two again, two touchdowns in the last quarter at the very end. The last one came at 2 minutes, 44 seconds, which you could change that into 2 minutes, 22 seconds plus 22 seconds, okay? Finishing strong. It was like a double portion comeback. It looked like they were dead, they lost, but it was a double portion comeback. I feel like we are coming into a double portion comeback.
Come on.
All right. So then Andy, his name means strong. And guess what his numerical value is to his name? 2. Okay, can't make that up. And his last name, guess what his last name means? Red. Okay, you're welcome to read behind the lines when I'm saying like things like red. Okay, I'm just not going to go there, but you just can't make that up, all right? So we're coming into a new decade of awakening and winning America back to God with a strong comeback.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
So Bob Jones' prophecy was that if the Kansas City Chiefs win, that God is raising up his apostolic chiefs around the nation. And one time he said around the nation. So this is, I really believe this is worldwide. It's not just about America, but it's worldwide revival and awakening and taking back ground. So then the Lord had me just, look up the logo, and I found that they used to have a different logo. Next picture, please. But I like the first one even better because it's like, okay, literally is a chief, and he is running for the victory, running that race to the finish goal, and he's got a battle axe, and I like that battle axe. You know, the spearhead and the battle axe is not the word, sharp. It's, to me, it represents the word running, with the word, it's cutting, it's sharp, it's powerful. And the Lord said the KC actually stands for Kingdom Culture. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Woohoo! Okay, so on February the 22nd, God spoke to me in my journaling time, and I always date my journaling, so I had my date, and I noticed that there were 4 2s in a row, 2-2-2-2, and I just, the Lord just made me notice it, and so he spoke Isaiah 22:22. And so I went and looked it up, and it's all about the house of David. And there's more to come on the house of David that is going to be for us, for our house next week. Anyway, so I asked the Lord to confirm it. And sure enough, the next day I was listening to something in the morning, and boom, they quoted Isaiah 22:22. And then later on that day, boom, on my phone in big numbers, 2-2-2-2. I mean, you just can't make that up. So anyway, it says in Isaiah 22:22, and I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. So the key of the house of David is a type and a symbol of the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ with judgment and justice now and forever. The house of David. Okay? We have a house inside of the mouth, and it's the house of David. And the key of the house of David is within that same house, okay? To establish his government in judgment and justice now and forever. Amen. So then the Kansas Chief won the Super Bowl, the victory on 2-2-2020. 0202 2020. And you can read that forward and backward. It reads the same forward and backward, okay? So, and it last, this incident last occurred in November 11, 1111. So 1,000 years ago, 1111, 1111. So it's unique, it doesn't happen, just, it's unique, okay? Again, you just can't make that up. God is speaking. He's speaking to us. So to me, you know, he was speaking about, it's all about perspective. Which way are you going to look at it? Are you going to look at it from, you know, forward or from backwards? Are you going to look at it from the left or from the right? Are you going to look at it from a natural point of view or from a heavenly point of view? An old wineskin always looks backward. And it looks backward to the way it used to be. You know, looking to the past and letting the experiences of the past define you and determine my future. To me, this whole thing is basically saying that at this point, we can choose to either go forward or we can go backward. We can choose to go forward in victory like the Kansas Chiefs, or we can stay in the past. We can focus on our failure. I mean, they did not win a Super Bowl in 50 years. You know, we can stay in the past and focus on our failures of what we've not achieved or accomplished. And by the way, the Super Bowl to me is supernatural. The supernatural. It's speaking of the supernatural. So it all depends on how we look at things. You know, you can't drive a car forward. Somebody prayed in the room about a car. Anyway, you can't drive a car forward looking in the back rear mirror. Okay, imagine that. Driving a car. It's not going to work. You can't go where you can't see. All right? So Elijah's servant only saw, that's Gehazi, he only saw what the enemy was doing. He saw a big army with chariots and horses, you know, surrounding the city. But Elijah saw the chariots and horses of fire, the angelic host that had come to assist in the battle of the enemy. And he prayed for Gehazi, and he said, oh, Lord, open his eyes so he could see. So the Lord opened his eyes, and he could see. And it says, and he looked, Gehazi looked, and then he saw the chariots and the horses, you know, the chariots of fire. So what I'm saying, what I'm seeing there is that, you know, even if our eyes are open, we still have to look. Amen. You have to be a looker to be a seer. I stole that from Mark Werbler. Anyway, so we have to look to see, even if our eyes are open. We have to make an effort and look, okay? We have to look to see what God is doing in the midst of what the enemy is doing. So 2020 is the year to have our eyes open with 2020 vision. Clear vision to see beyond what the enemy is doing. So, you know, the enemy has a mouth too. He has a pay. And he has a house this decade inside of his mouth. But it's not the house of David. Okay? The house that he has inside of him is, you know, that of his father. You know, the accuser, the adversary, the liar, the deceiver, the thief, and the murderer. That's who's in his house. And we can see how, you know, he's working with his mouth through speaking what's in his house, you know, in people. We can see in people's lives, you know, how that affects people. And we also can clearly see how he's speaking and what he's doing in our nation. And, you know, it's like he's got a big mouth. And it just seems like he's speaking way more and way louder, you know, than we are. It's like he had his it's like his voice is magnified, or like with a loudspeaker. What do you say? Not magnified. What's that?
Megaphone.
Like a megaphone. Yeah. Thank you. So anyway, but if we enlarge the place of our house right here and be stretched out, if we don't hold back, and if we lengthen our cords, and if we strengthen our stakes, and if we break out into singing and we cry aloud, like it just said in Isaiah If we do what God is telling us here in Isaiah 54, then Isaiah 54:17, a little further down in the chapter, says, then no weapon turned against you will succeed. It says you will silence the voice raised up against you to accuse you. So it's going to silence the pay of the enemy. And it says these benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord, and their vindication comes from me. The Lord has spoken, it says. The Lord has spoken. I, the Lord, have spoken, okay? I'm not speaking. God, I'm your mouthpiece. He's speaking. So receive impartation. Receive from the Lord. So then the Lord quickened me on 2 Chronicles 20:20. Again, just the 2020 theme and the tools and the whole nine yards. So I looked it up and it blew my mind, because it says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. And so, you know, again, the whole prophecy with Bob Jones and just the way everything happened. And God, I mean, God couldn't have made it more obvious. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, really? I mean, you can't make that up. So he's confirming it, and he broadcast it, and then, you know, I mean, everywhere. So I feel like the Lord is specifically telling us, hey, believe in the Lord and believe his prophets. You know, you're going to be upheld and you're going to succeed. So I feel like we need to do that. And so our church had got this prophetic word 2 years ago, and I think it was Stefan. And again, thank you, worship team, for setting that up with the song. In Isaiah 43:19, he says, I am doing something new. And he says, see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Gosh, do you not see it? And he says, I will make pathways through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Hello, River House. Hello, River House. I will create rivers in the wasteland, in the dry wasteland. Yay. So, but there's a but there, and we got to get the but out the way first. Who wants to know what the but is? Okay, the but is in the verse before, and it says, but forget the former things. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Woo-hoo!
Come on, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Create those rivers in the dry places. Yes, do something new that is nothing compared to what you have done before. So, then it goes on, he says, I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That's pay, that's the mouth, that they might declare my praise. Oh, and we had that in the song today too. So on the pathway, I had a vision of, you know, like the highway of holiness, a pathway way back. And it was a pathway of light. It did not have any columns. It had nothing of earth supporting it. It just was floating, like a floating highway in the air, just of light, pure light. And so it's like, you know, the Lord is just wanting us to find that pathway, you know, of the higher realms in God, because his ways are higher than ours. We have got to come up to the higher ways of God. And like you said, you know, we got to let go of our own ways. I'm speaking to myself. I am so there. I'm so ready. Anyway, so when we first moved into our building, the Lord continued to give me a prophetic word about change and transformation, and he had me do prophetic acts. And the first one that I did was in the prayer room with our ladies, and we were praying, and so I was praying concerning change and transformation, and I had a bunch of change in my hand, and I just threw it up in the air, and it hit the fan, And so it scared everybody. It scared the snots out of everybody. But you know what? If anybody was asleep, they awoke. It definitely woke everybody up. Like, oh, what is happening here? This change is just bouncing off of the, you know, fan. And so what the Lord is saying through that is like, don't wait until the shit hits the fan before you're ready to change.
Come on. Come on.
You know, God has a sense of humor, you know? So anyway, I thought that was a good one, Lord. So, you know, the problem is that we need a new wineskin. And we need to come out of the box of old mindsets. And the problem a lot of times is that we just don't realize or recognize that we still have old mindsets. Or sometimes we just don't. If we do realize that, sometimes we just don't know how to change. And, you know, Kanye West and Donald Trump, they are a type of out-of-the-box of this day and this culture. They are a type of new wineskin, okay? And how many religious people are so against and blasting, you know, and speaking against? So that's not good. Anyway, John 2:1 says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana. Ooh, did we just have a wedding here? Is God awesome or what?
Yeah.
So many prophetic bits and pieces here today. This is a prophetic message, y'all, okay? And God is confirming. I mean, all the way. I love it. Thank you, Lord. I love it. So on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And so they ran out of wine. And then, you know, they did what Jesus told them to do. And he said, get six, you know, pots of water. And the number six, you know, represents the number of men. And so basically what the Lord is saying, you know, six vessels, water pots, of ordinary men being transformed by the water into wine. So, you know, it's not just the preachers and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the prophets and, you know, whatever, or the mighty, you know, no, ordinary men, each and every one of us. You know, divine transformation from water into wine. And then they said, oh, the bridegroom, he has kept the best for last. And I just feel like this is a word, you know, that God is saying, I've kept the best for last. And the third day, church, is arising, where God has kept the best for last for us. So when God does something new, you know, we need a new wineskin to contain it, or else what happens? It bursts, and then what happens to the wine? Right, it's lost. Yeah. So we need a new wineskin to contain what God is bringing in this day and time. And so, you know, when the Father sent his Son in the form of human flesh, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he did something new that's never been done before. And, you know, all the religious leaders, you know, almost all of Israel would not receive it. They were not open to something different, to something new. And it's because, you know, because it looked different and they weren't accustomed to something like that. Even though it's been prophesied all from the very beginning and God gave signs, but when it happened at a point of time, they still couldn't receive it because it looked different from what they expected and thought of or accustomed to. So as I said earlier, an old wineskin always looks backward to the way it used to be, you know, looking to the past, letting the experience of the past determine our future. And so they were not open to the new, and they actually persecuted the new. That's one way you can tell and discern, you know, those that persecute the new are of, you know, a religious mindset or an old wineskin. So Tony, last time he was talking about, you know, you constantly, every year, you make new wine. So it's never like a once in a lifetime thingy, you know. The grapes need to be crushed in order to make new wine, is what Tony said. And so, you know, a lot of times we feel the squeezing and the stretching and the growing pain and the crushing. But it's because God is making new wine. So I want us to be encouraged, you know, in the midst of all of our, you know, stretching and crushing, that God is doing something new. And, you know, it's a good thing. It's for the new wine. So Anyway, so they were not open, and you know that's dangerous because we risk missing our time of visitation. In Luke 19:41-44, you know, it talks about Jesus drawing near to the city of Jerusalem, and when he came to the city, he wept. He wept, saying, "Oh, I wish that you had known on this day the things that make for peace." Then he said, "But now it's hidden from your eyes. For the day will come when you, basically, when you know, the day will come when your enemies are going to surround you and destroy your city because you did not know the time of your visitation." He wept. He didn't want that to happen. So the Lord gave me this word, and I gave it, spoke it here a couple of weeks ago, where he said, "This is that." I don't know if you all remember it, but you know, so this is the Lord is saying, you know, what he's doing now is that which he has prophesied in the past season. There is just a manifestation of the promises and the prophetic utterance of God coming into manifestation in this decade, in this season. And but we have to be open, you know, to the possibility of it looking different than what we expect or imagine. We don't want to be like them and miss our time of visitation or the impartation of the manifestation of those prophetic words and promises. So at the beginning of the year, this year, we also had some prophetic words that were from Scott and Donna, as well as me, about divine romance. I don't know if y'all remember. And about unveiling faces, you know, to see the glory of God. And so the Lord really has been speaking to me that this is a time where he will unravel us down to our core being, because that's where the house is. We need to be unraveled. And that he's unveiling who he is and who we are in him. And then the first week in February, I was journaling. You know, I journaled with my coffee. I keep eating the mic. It doesn't taste too good. Anyway, so I journal with my coffee, and you know, I'm writing down my little portion to the Lord, and then I'm realizing I'm out of coffee, so I'm like ready. Okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I'm like, oh, wait, let me get some more coffee. And I'm running to the kitchen, and I'm filling up another cup of coffee. And I, you know, I'm in anticipation of what he's going to say. And then I came back to the couch, and no sooner had my butt hit the couch, I mean, it was somewhere in midair, that the song comes, "You're My Darling, Darling Baby." Anybody know that song? It's an oldie. No, I can't sing that one. It's soul. But anyway, it's a type of Song of Solomon, kind of a talk song. And this was very much out of the box for me, because it's like, I was like, I almost couldn't receive it because it was so out of the box. And however, I know better, you know, I know better than to let doubt get in and keep me from receiving what the Lord is, you know, speaking to me. So I'm going to read the words of the song, "You're My Darling," because it's very in line with what Scripture says to us, okay? "You're my darling, darling baby. You're my darling, darling love. I said you're everything I ever hoped for in a woman." So think of the bride and the church, okay? Here goes the wedding bells at the door, okay? "As long as I may live, you're my darling, darling baby. You're my sweet and tender love. You're a very special lady. I said, you're the one that I always dreamed of in a woman. I'll give all that I can give. I'll give you plenty of love because you deserve the best. You should have everything a queen sitting on a throne should have. You deserve to have it all. And I'm going to do my best to give it to you, to give it to you, to give it to you. I'll give you plenty of love because you deserve the best, because you're better than the rest. You're my queen on the throne, the one that I want to own. And all the things that you desire, I'll do my best to give it to you, to give it to you, to give it to you. also Paul in Ephesians, you know, he says, for this reason, a man will, you know, leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be, here goes the number two, the two shall be one flesh. And he said, but, you know, I'm not talking about in the natural. This is a mystery. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about Christ and the church. So I'm talking about Christ and the church and the divine romance of the intimate relationship between our Lord and Savior and as us as the bride. Okay, again, I just can't, you know, you just can't make this up that God had this still up for us today. The wedding, like a chuppah almost, you know, that, you know, I think that from now on when we walk through these doors, and I mean, the Lord actually gave me a word about double doors opening, and we have double doors here. That's part of the double comeback. But anyway, I think that every time we walk through those doors, we should imagine that, you know, chuppah. I don't even know what do you call that in English? That, huh?
You should keep it there.
Huh? Arbor? The wedding arbor, okay? The wedding arbor. Yeah, the Jews call it chuppah. Yeah, it's like a tent actually that you come up under where you're being married. Anyway, so also, you know, you had given the message about I am the way, and that this is how the Lord is glorified through basically answering our prayers. So, you know, here he says, you know, everything you desire, you know, in prayer, I'll give it to you, I'll give it to you, I'll give it to you. Believe in the Lord your God and believe the prophets. You'll be established, you'll be upheld. So, I want to read a couple of verses from Song of Solomon. And the first one was 2:2, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 2. More twos. I don't know why God chose all the twos, but it's because we're in 2020. So he wants us to see beyond the obvious, you know, see the house inside of our mouth. So it says, so get ready for impartation. Just receive what the Lord is releasing and imparting to us. Yes, you are my darling companion. You stand out from all the rest. For though the curse of sin surrounds you, still you remain as pure as a lily, even more than all others. One, Song of Songs, 1:2. Let him smother me with kisses. Did our pastor talk about kisses today? Let's come back for worship on Friday and let him kiss us with his spirit kiss. So he says, the church says, let him smother me with kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses. I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Okay, there goes some new wine. All right, but you gotta let go of the old wine skin though. Okay, Psalms 115. Look at you, my dearest darling. You are so lovely. You are beauty itself to me. Your passionate eyes are like gentle doves. Psalms 4:12. My darling bride, my private paradise, fastened to my heart. A secret spring are you that no one else can have. My bubbling fountain, hidden from public view. Right there. What a perfect partner to me now that I have you. Songs of Songs 2:10. The one I love calls to me. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw me, to draw you to my heart, and to lead you out. For now is the time. Say, now is the time. Beautiful one. Song of Songs 5:2. I dreamt of my beloved. He was coming to me in the darkness of night. The melody of the man I love awakened me. I heard his knock at my heart's door as he pleaded with me. Arise, my love. Open your heart, my darling, deeper still to me. Will you receive this dark night? Will you receive me this dark night? There's no one else but you, my friend, my equal. I need you this night to arise and come be with me. You are my pure, loyal dove, a perfect partner for me. My flawless one, will you arise? One more Song of Songs 4:16. Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. Hold nothing back until I release your fragrance. Come walk with me as you walked with Adam in the paradise garden. Come taste the fruits of your life in me. I have come to you, my darling, my bride, for you are my paradise garden. Come walk with me until I am fully yours. Come taste the fruits of your life in me. Jesus, lover of our souls, our husband, our creator and maker, provider, our everything. How you love us. Oh, how you rejoice over us with loud singing. Oh, how you always hear inside with us, inside of us. Here we are, Jesus. Here we are as your bride. We want to be completely open to you to receive all that you have to give us, Lord. You want to give it to us. Give it to us. Give it to us. Lord, and we want it for the glory of your name, because we have passion for your name to be glorified. For the world to see what a big, great God you are, that you are mighty. You're a mighty warrior. You're mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to heal. And you live inside of us. You live in the house inside of us. And you want to speak out of our mouth and declare your praises. You want our mouth to sing and declare your praises. You want us to sing and to break out into singing and to sing aloud and Lord, rid us of any religious old mindsets, Lord, whether we realize it and recognize it or not. Lord, we don't know how to change. Lord, you alone are the change in us. Lord, throw that change, Lord, like the prophetic act all over us. Let the change hit us, Lord, to transform us from ordinary vessels, from water into wine, Lord. We welcome you here. This is your house. Come have your way or higher. We don't want to walk in our own ways. We want to know you, Abba, Jesus, the Lord our God. We want to know you as the mighty one to save, to heal, to deliver. The one that's one with us. The one that's in us, that's with us all the time. We want to hear the sound of you singing inside of your house, singing over us songs of deliverance, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. This is a time and a season and a decade for us to see clearly, 2020 vision, to see beyond the obvious, to be see beyond the natural, and to see beyond what the enemy is doing, and to see what you're doing. We receive 2020 vision. We receive our sight, Lord. Meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. May what's in our heart come from the house of David, Lord, from truth, from love, and let it speak louder than the voice of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, that you no weapon formed against us will prosper, Lord, that we will silence every voice of the enemy, and that this is our vindication from you, because we are the righteousness of God. Your mouth has spoken it, and I declare it as your mouth speaking it over us this day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father, mighty God. Praise you, mighty warrior. Praise you, mighty warrior. We silence every voice of the enemy. This is our vindication from you. It comes from you. We receive, Lord. Have your way. We acknowledge you and we lift your name above every other name. And we say, here we are. We are your servants. We are your bride.